And welcome back to Push to Talk, the ATC Hour. We're sitting here with Darren Gaines and Grant Anderson.
I have some questions about the modernization, about the ADSB. Mm-hmm. Now, what was the date that that's supposed to be online?
Do you mean nationwide?
Yes.
Probably about 2 years ago.
2 years ago, wonderful.
And I'm not actually sure.
Right. Now, it seems to me the ADSB will allow airplanes to fly closer together, and because of the newer technologies, correct?
Well, it should. It also offers a bit more of a self-awareness, although my involvement with ADSB has been pretty slim. As far as closer together, that can be helpful, especially in a en route environment. Unless you're dealing with, wake turbulence, things of that nature, unless they want to change that, there's still only so many tolerances there. The issue normally becomes in the vicinity of a terminal area, where it doesn't matter how closely packed you are, there's a runway capacity issue. It's always a concrete issue of how many the airport can tolerate as far as takeoffs and landings.
Right, but in tight airspace around LaGuardia and JFK and Philadelphia and DCA, would that not give them an increased capacity to get in and out and potentially reduce delays? And wouldn't this be good for the consumer of the airlines?
Well, potentially it could have some impact on delays, but it's more around the fringes of the issue because, as I was saying, the real issue is at the airport itself. If we can get you there more efficiently and faster to the holding pattern, it only does so much for you.
Okay. It is certainly capacity-driven, though. That's what's driving the new technology. There's more and more airplanes being introduced into the national airspace system, and there's only so much airspace. And as long as we have separation standards that cannot be breached, you're going to see a lot of technological initiatives to increase capacity and reduce those standards.
Okay.
As long as we have the science to back it up, Grant mentioned wake turbulence. My fear is that to increase capacity and answer to the airlines and the user who want to be more efficient and reduce delays, that they don't compromise a separation standard without getting hard data, without getting the science behind it that says it's safe to do so.
One thing I might want to add in, too, which doesn't apply as much to your listeners as others, but we already have increased capacity tremendously with reduced vertical separation minimums above flight level 280 instantly overnight. We doubled the amount of usable altitudes there. How much of an impact did that really have? The airspace is there. The capacity is there. The issue is at the start and the termination of the flight.
Okay. And is there modernization things ongoing to try and expand the airports to solve those issues nationwide also?
Or at least concepts or vaporware.
Well, there's plenty of concepts. And on each individual airport, it becomes a stickier question as far as upgrades. As far as equipment in the ATC control room or up in the tower, that's one thing. But as most of the airports weren't designed for the capacity or the modern types of aircraft that we have, and then there's other interests that they still need to fight as far as improvements there. Of course, environmental. People have houses nearby there, and all those issues, which end up being not something that we're involved in, but it balls up the whole process and trying to make some expansion and efficiency changes.
Something else to throw in there. There's not any new airports being built. The last new major airport that we saw built was Denver, and that's over 15 years ago. O'Hare is going to get a new runway, which will help, but there's not any new airports being built. In fact, on the GA side,
they're closing down. That's exactly what I was just thinking.
We're losing airports, so that certainly is detrimental to the capacity and efficiency issue as well.
How does when the GA side starts to filter down, and the GA airports, obviously people know, don't just accommodate the little 2 and 4 seater prop planes. It's also a lot of the larger commercial 135 operations sometimes operate out of some of these same Van Nuys, of course, comes to mind for me.
Business jets.
Things like that. So how does that impact some of the, because you got to have someplace to go. Businesses aren't going to stop, so, well, some of them do. But
what I think I hear you say is VLJ. And there is a forecast that these very light jets are going to, 5,000 the next 10 years, depending on who you talk to, type of thing. We do believe that there will be a significant number of very light jets, probably not as many as are predicted right now. And the model is that these aircraft will not be using the major airports. They will be using the rural airports, the satellite airports. But keep in mind, they still have a protective bubble, a separation bubble around them that we as air traffic controllers need to respect, and that can't be compromised. So there's still traffic, whether there's one person on board or whether there's 300 on a 777, they still need to be given the appropriate safety standard and level of separation. So there's still going to be something we have to contend with. They don't perform like the airliners, so they probably, these very light jets, will not be able to be utilized to their fullest extent of capability because they can't get to the flight levels except out in the western states. They certainly won't be able to do it, to flight level 410 out east or even on the west coast. They won't be able to be up there very long, type of thing. So the dynamic of the general aviation pilot and the corporate operator is certainly changing, and we're going to need to be able to adapt to that.
Well, that as well as you close these smaller or more of the GA airports down, right, the operations go somewhere,
right,
and now you've got, of course, your approach and departure is still dealing with the same area, but you've got
less
more
concrete
on top of each other. It's more concentrated, right, now into the remaining airports.
Let's take Midway, for example.
Midway.
I think they already took it.
Yeah.
Yes. We'll thank Daly for that.
So.
But when they closed down that airport.
Migs.
I misspoke. When they closed down Migs, all that air traffic has to go someplace, and that's going to go to Midway, or it's going to O'Hare.
And now you have more flights originating and terminating on top of each other.
Right, and you've got less runways for the same amount of aircraft overall.
So what's that doing to you guys, or what's the perspective from that end on it?
Well, basically, it always works. When you get into the big airports, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners have already experienced it in a lower mid-performance aircraft trying to go in on an off-runway or something of that nature, generally the building a spot for somebody to come in on that is more problematic than in a smaller airport where basically we just have to keep you away from the other traffic, but the actual termination of the flight into the airport becomes easier from that aspect. And yeah, as we lose the smaller GA-type concrete throughout the country, and forcing some of the users to mix it up into the bigger airports, it definitely gives a big challenge from the ATC side.
Now, I know that when we were talking about fatigue, this is an independent issue from any of the modernization we're discussing, but are any of the proposed, automation is never a perfect solution, and as you've mentioned, it's very, very hard for the human to step back in. But are there some technologies on the horizon, or even implemented or possibly going to be implemented, that help address some of the fatiguing roles that ATC deals with, that the controllers?
The current mindset in addressing the fatigue issue by the NTSB, wants to see the controller work schedule modified. I think what you're going to see right now, the federal standard is 8 hours off in between shifts. The science shows that we need 8 hours of rest to be fully alert by the time we're expected to work again. So that's impossible to do unless you live in the basement of the facility,
right,
to get 8 hours of rest. People have lives. They have to commute sometimes up to an hour to and from work. They get home and they have family issues and they have lives. So I think what you're going to see initially is to put more time in between shifts for controllers, like initially maybe 10 hours off is the minimum in between shifts. And this is,
I thought you were going to say bunk beds in the basement of the facilities.
That's something else that's coming. Is I think you will see an endorsement for rest periods on the midnight shift for controllers, right? Between like 11 o'clock at night and 7 o'clock in the morning, to authorize and maybe even endorse controllers to nap for brief periods, because that's what the science does show.
And it's not a new concept. I mean, we've got that on the on the long, you know, your transatlantic flights when you've got a multi pilot crew, you know, you've
got... Once again, it's expected that the FAA expects the people they regulate to be cognizant of this, but the people that they employ don't get the same consideration. So you're right. It is new to the FAA, but as a concept, it's not. I mean, foreign air traffic control entities endorse this, and I think you'll see the FAA finally start to endorse napping during certain times of day for controllers. Right now, it's disciplinary. If we try to catch a nap on the midnight shift, we could be suspended or even fired for that.
When you're on a break.
Correct. We will never endorse napping on the radar scope or plugged into the tower, but on a break, yes, when you're not actually in control of airplanes, we could be punished for resting our eyes or trying to take a nap at 2 o'clock in the morning.
As a segue into the lighter side, the way the regulations, the way their regs read is that we can't be asleep or in a non-conscious state. While on a break, which if you take that further, well, the only place you can sleep is while you're on position then.
Well, we are going to go to another break here. You are listening to Magneto Mel and Wireless Mike.